Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus on Albany. My guest today is John Sullivan, who is the former New York State Democratic chairman. And John just wrote a new book about his recollection of politics and what he lived through, you know, over a few decades. So, John, how are you?
I am well, Cynthia. You know, having just turned 70, there are always a few challenges health-wise that we find along the way. But I'm doing very well, and as they say, able to sit up and take nourishment.
Well,
it's a pleasure
great.
To be on your show again. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you. So you just wrote a kind of like a memoir about politics.
Yeah.
So can you tell everybody what the name of the book is and what you what you wrote?
It's called Pee Not Your Pants, Memoirs of a Small Town Mayor with Big Time Ideas. And you might say, where in the heck did you get that title? And the answer to that question is, you know, when you set out to write a memoir / autobiography, this is really more memoir than it is an autobiography, but you examine, you know, who am I? How did I get to be who I am? Where did it all begin? And you know, what's it all about, Alfie? So for me, that takes me back to St. Mary's School, Oswego, New York, 1952 kindergarten class. And my teacher was a nun, very, very lovely woman by the name of Sister Stanislaus. We called her Sister Santa Claus. And she was really just a wonderful teacher. And she, we sat not at desks, but at tables, colored tables. And the tables, as I recall, were red, blue, green, and orange. And your place in the social pecking order, believe it or not, was determined in part by which table you sat at. And we weren't assigned seats. We simply chose our own seats. And so the red table was viewed as the bee's knees. If you could sit at the red table, you were doing great. If you sat at the first seat at the red table, you were the king of the prom sitting across from the queen of the hop. And so for whatever reason, I always tried to be at the red table and even the first seat at the red table. And that went along fine until one day I peed my pants. And Sister Santa Claus made me stand behind the piano. And then she assigned me to the orange table. Oh, my God, me? The orange table? That's where all the kids with boogery noses sat. Not that we didn't all occasionally have a boogery nose. But I thought then, well, thank you, I think, Sister Santa Claus, for teaching me one of life's very valuable lessons, and that is pee not your pants, because it's dry pants people who rule the world. And I haven't peed my pants in 65 years since. Yet. So anyway, that became a great theme for the book. And so I carried that theme through a chronological approach to telling the story of my 40-year involvement in politics and law and civic activity from the local to the state to the national level. And it's full of anecdotes.
I got one question for you. Did you and the other kids outright call her Sister Santa Claus?
Yes, I think.
Oh my God!
Was it? Yes. She was such a wonderful person. So of course we're little kids. You know, maybe on reflection, maybe that's something we said in the cloakroom and didn't say in the classroom. But I don't think she was unaware that that was her name.
A couple
years ago, I did some research on her. She was a nun from the Order of the Sisters of Saint Joseph of Carondelet. And they're the ones that had their mother house in Latham, I think. So she.
Oh, okay.
We all love Sister Santa Claus. So anyway, the other way I wrote the book, Cindy, was I sat down and I wrote down the names of all the different people, many of whom were well-known, who I interacted with or who I had a story to tell about.
Mm-hmm.
And then I fit that into a chronological framework. And I tried to approach the book in the same way that my friend Tim Russert did when he wrote a book about his dad, Big Russ. And I love that book. And I knew Tim. We used to drink beers at the Bleecker in Albany. And he had an anecdotal approach. And he's a South Buffalo Irish guy who never lost his roots. I'm from an area of Oswego called the Forks in the Road, which is kind of a blue-collar neighborhood. And I have great kinship with Tim. There are a couple of Tim Russert stories in the book, as a matter of fact. So I wove the story of my life and my interaction in politics through the chronological years, starting by earliest, political activity was when I was a college student at Oswego State. I was chosen to be an intern in the office of the late Senator Robert F. Kennedy from New York at the time, and I spent 2 weeks in Washington, and I worked in the mail room writing letters to constituents. And you know who my boss was? Mary Jo Kopechne. And I'm sure that's what it's about.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah.
So I started early on as an intern, and later years, interestingly enough, I met Kerry Kennedy, Cuomo. We exchanged stories. I was telling her how I was an intern in her dad's office. And interestingly enough, when she was interviewed, I think on the 30th anniversary of Robert Kennedy's assassination, they asked her about her fondest memories of her dad. Excuse me. And I had told her an anecdote about going to a cocktail party in her dad's office when he had just returned from Mississippi. He had been visiting sharecroppers in the Mississippi Delta area, and he was exhausted. But Thursday afternoon at 6 o'clock, it was like, okay, staff, come on in the senator's office. He just got back. So I'm sitting on the floor having a beer. Senator Kennedy is sitting on his desk with the PT-109 replica in the background, and he's kind of exhausted, bloodshot eyes, sweaty armpits and all, and telling us about his adventures. And he said, did anybody see me? I guess I was on Walter Cronkite. And I raised my hand. I said, yeah, I did, Senator. I saw you. So I went on to describe for him what the television had portrayed and so forth. So I told Kerry that story. And I think that stuck with her because that night, ironically, he went home to Hickory Hill to his kids after I was with him. So I was, I was with her old man before he got home that night. And it just made for a great story. So one time when I was being honored by the county of Oswego Democratic Party, Andrew Cuomo came as guest speaker. He brought with him a book, uh-huh. The entire transcripts of speeches given by Robert F. Kennedy. And he had Ethel Kennedy autograph it to me. And she said in the book, a good beginning goes a long way. And I cherish that book to this day. So that's one of the early anecdotes in the book. But there are many more. I go on. I don't know if you know my whole history. Cynthia, I was first elected as a county legislator when I was 23. Mm-hmm. Then I went on to become a delegate in 1972 to the Democratic National Convention pledged to George McGovern.
Mm-hmm.
And then I became the chairman of the Democratic Party in Oswego County when I was 27. And those are the years when Hugh Carey was elected, and I've got some Hugh Carey, Marianne Kupsack stories in there. And then I went on to chair the college council at Oswego. I then later became elected mayor, and a couple years after that was tapped to be the co-chair of the New York State Democratic Party. Lots of stories in there about that. And then I, a few years after that, became an assistant attorney general under Elliot Spitzer. I then worked as Deputy Medicaid Inspector General in Albany and retired from that position. And then I've had a few other political involvements that I think you're aware of with Effective New York, and also as a coordinator for the Cuomo campaign in 2014. So a lot of stories about a lot of people. And I think anyone interested in politics in the last 40 years in New York State would get a kick out of reading it. I mean, it's a I try to bring a smile to your face, occasionally maybe a tear. I added, this is a two-year effort. You have to write it, then you got to edit it. And then I went back and I added some material, excuse me, about my late wife, Charlotte, because she was such an influence on me and she impacted on so many people. She really was the type of person who, when she walked into the room, she'd light the room up. I mean, she just... she was that kind of a person, and I felt, you know, she deserved a little more attention than I had initially written. And she would always say in early years that she was going to write a book someday, and she was going to call it Move Over Irma. Irma Bombeck was one of her favorite authors. And remember, she wrote, If Life's a Bowl of Cherries, What Am I Always Doing in the Pits? I think the grass is greener over the septic tank, yeah. But anyway, in later years, Charlotte changed her mind. She said, no, I think I want to write a book called A Dream is a Wish Your Heart Makes. And so I have a chapter entitled A Dream is a Wish Your Heart Makes, and I tell lots of stories about Charlotte and her struggles for 2 years with cancer and her ability to just keep smiling in the face of adversity. She really was incredible. Anyone in Oswego would tell you. In fact, I was there recently for a book signing, and people are still telling me stories, Charlotte stories, that I have never heard. So she's kind of a legend, and she deserves some attention. So I expanded the book and included a lot of material about her. So that touches or tugs at
what
the heartstrings.
Years, but, what years were you state chairman?
I was state chair from 1995 to 1998, immediately in the aftermath of the loss by Governor Mario Cuomo. Interesting anecdote about that. I had retired a couple of years before as mayor and was concentrating on my legal practice, and I had a couple of kids in college at the time. So it was a Sunday morning in early, maybe late December, early January of 1994. And I got a call from the Speaker of the State Assembly. So I answered the phone, and it was, John, yes, Sheldon Silver here. Oh, my goodness, Mr. Speaker, how are you? To what do I owe the courtesy of this call? And he said, we want you to come to Albany. We want you to be the state chairman. I was like, whoa, hold on a second. Can you say that again? And, I mean, you could have knocked me over with a feather. Anyway, I said, sure, I'll come down and talk to you about it. And he said, all right, my people will be in touch, and thank you very much. I hung up the phone. My wife said, who was that? I said, that was Speaker Silver. He wants me to be the state chairman. My wife said, how much does it pay? I said, I don't know. I didn't ask him. She said, call him back. But that's another anecdote in the book. But it was a very interesting experience. I wound up actually being teamed with a woman from Long Island, Judith Holt, who was very skilled at fundraising. I explained to Shelley that I'm not a fundraiser. I mean, you want me to go to Plattsburgh and give a speech and rally the troops? I can do that. But raising millions is a little bit out of my wheelhouse. So he said, well, why don't you, Judith, sit down and talk this over and see if you can't work it out, and maybe you can have a co-chair arrangement. So that's what they came up with. And she was really the kind of day-to-day, her title was state chair. I think my title was executive chair. And my focus was supposed to be on upstate. And we struggled back and forth. Very difficult to have two captains of the ship at the same time. So there's some stories in the book about that. But ultimately, we settled into a role where my preeminent emphasis was on upstate, and I was allowed to organize something called the Democratic Rural Conference. The 40 smallest counties in the state got together, and And that's still a very potent force in New York politics. So I'm very proud to have been involved in the DRC. And all of this came about in part because Mario Cuomo lost so badly in upstate New York in 1994. Oswego County, for example, he carried only 17% of the vote in Oswego County. Now, Mickey Mouse would get 33 or 34%. So that was not good. And so at the time, they realized that they really needed to shift focus and work on the party organization. And I think they did a focus group, and somehow they decided that they wanted an Irish Catholic former mayor with a good-looking wife and four daughters who could speak. And bing, my name popped up. And so I traveled all over the state for 3 years. And how many people can say they've been in every county in the state, unless you've run for a statewide office? So you get a familiarity with, you also realize what a challenge New York State is. It's so diverse, from the canyons of Manhattan to the, you know, the gorges of Ithaca and beyond, from Buffalo to Brooklyn. And it's a big, big and diverse state. So I really relish that experience, met a lot of people, and lots of stories in the book about that.
Now, you said that in 93, Mario Cuomo did not do well upstate. Well,
94,
you know,
election.
94. Well, I, you know, from what I'm observing, I don't think Cuomo is really doing much to shore up his upstate base. Do you agree?
Well, trying, he is. Succeeding, that's a question mark. In my home county, Oswego, I would say he is well regarded, in part because he almost single-handedly took a position that resulted in saving the Nine Mile Point nuclear plants. And that's a huge thing in Oswego County. I mean, there are 3,000 jobs there, and that's been a controversy across the state. But he engineered an agreement to acquire the Fitzpatrick nuclear plant, which at one point was owned by the Power Authority of the state of New York. They sold it during the Pataki years, which I think was a mistake. Anyway, he's popular in Oswego County as a result of that, and there's been a huge number of grants for the development of downtown and so forth, and development of the waterfront in Oswego. So there are, you know, patches of places in upstate where his popularity is pretty good. Buffalo is another one, to some extent in Utica for some of the things that he's done there. But it's spotty. And, you know, he's a very strong leader, but sometimes, as strong leaders can be, they can become their own worst enemies. So it's a it's a mixed bag, if you will.
I've got a couple of questions. You talk about your involvement with UCARI, and you said you had stories about Marianne Krupczak. Why did Marianne Krupczak decide to jump ship and primary Mario Cuomo?
That's a very good question, and there's quite a story in the book about that and my involvement with that. She and Hugh Carey were certainly not a match made in heaven to begin with. He didn't want her. She won the primary, and she got kind of tacked on to his administration. And Marianne was a hard-charging person. She was I liked her very, very much. In fact, got to know her fairly well. She came to Oswego several times. So we had a good working relationship. I saw her not too long ago in Seneca Falls, as a matter of fact, at a dinner. Anyway, Hugh Carey and Marianne Krupczak were like oil and water. They just didn't mix. So she felt that he had not really upheld his end upstate. He had sent her every place instead of him going. So when it came time for the convention, I think it was now 1978, maybe, for his first reelection effort, I was working out in my rose garden on a Sunday morning, and my wife came out and said, that you got a phone call, the lieutenant governor's on the phone. I said, oh. So it was one of those portable phones, you know, she handed me the phone. And Marianne Klipczak's on the line. I said, hello, governor, how are you? John, I'm calling to tell you that I cannot do this any longer. I'm bolting the ticket. I don't know if she said bolting, but I'm going to leave the ticket. I'm going to be announcing that I will not run with Hugh Carey. And this was like 2 days before the convention was supposed to start. The convention was going to be in Albany. And so I was like, oh, my gosh, would you possibly reconsider, governor? I mean, I think that it's important for the party that you stay on the ticket. No, that blah, blah, blah. You know, she called him some colorful names and said, you know, she's done. So I said, well, I appreciate your calling me. She said, I just wanted to call a few of the chairmen who I know well, and I was the county chair at the time, and share this with you. So when I got off the phone, I thought, I know. I said, have you told the governor yet? She said, no, I haven't. So when I got off the phone, I thought, Lieutenant Governor has just called me. I'm 27 years old in Oswego, New York, and told me she's not going to run, and Hugh Carey doesn't know it. I think I'm honor-bound to call the governor and tell him. So sure enough, I did. I had a number to get a hold of him through the state police, and at the time he was in a helicopter coming back to Albany from his home in, I think, Shelter Island. So I get on the phone with him, and I said, Governor, I've got some very, bad news to share. And I said, the lieutenant governor called me and just said she's going to bolt the ticket. And he said, she's what? She's going to what? I said, yeah, she's not going to run.
Wow.
Said, and she's calling the county chairman to tell him that? I said, yes. And he humped a bit and went on. And then finally he said to me, he said, well, what would you do, John? I paused. The governor of the state of New York is asking me what I would do. And I said, well, I thought about it for a minute. I said, you know what, governor? If I were you, I'd get in the car. I'd drive over to Menands. I'd have a cup of tea. And I'd try to schmooze her and get her to change her mind. I'm not going to do that. She's a heartbeat away from running the state of New York. And she has no blah, blah, blah. So about 2 hours later, I get a call from John Burns, the state chair at the time. And he said, just keep your counsel on this, but Marianne Klipczak has told the governor she's not running, and it's all going to be announced tomorrow, but just please keep this between the two of us. I said, fine. So the next day, of course, she announces that she's leaving. She didn't say she was going to run the primary yet. The question then became, who can they get to replace her? And at the time, Perry Duryea, the Lobsterman assembly leader from Montauk, was running against Carey, and he had quite a head of steam built up, and it wasn't looking good for Hugh Carey, and Carey really needed somebody to bolster the ticket. So, at the time, Mario Cuomo was Secretary of State, and he had traveled all over upstate New York and spoken to a lot of groups, and he was well regarded. So I thought to myself, you know what, the only one who's going to save the day here is Mario Cuomo. So I put a call in to Secretary of State Mario Cuomo at the time, and I said, Mr. Secretary, you have got to step up to the plate, and you got to run for lieutenant governor. And he was, what? I don't want to run for lieutenant governor. I want to run for attorney general. Let the governor get Bobby Abrams to do it. I said, no, governor, Secretary, you're really the only person who can get on the Carey ticket and can save the day. So he said, well, I appreciate the call, John. Thank you. And then about 3 or 4 hours later, there's a press conference, and there's Hugh Carey with his arm around Mario Cuomo announcing that Mario Cuomo is going to be the new candidate for lieutenant governor. So every time I saw Mario Cuomo after that, I would remind him that I was the first guy to call him and tell him he had to run for lieutenant governor. And as they say, the rest is history. And so those are the kinds of anecdotes that I tell in the book.
You know who I really liked, and she just dropped out of the scene completely, and that was Gail Schaefer. I thought she was great.
Yeah. She was. I know Gail. I think she's still, she might be active on the local level in Schoharie. I think she lives in Schoharie County. You know, the chairman of Schoharie County is a guy named Cliff Hay. Cliff is in his mid-80s, I think, and he's been chairman for probably almost 40 years. Maybe Cliff should write a book. But I know that he interacts with her, and she's still living in Schoharie County.
From what I understand, Mario Cuomo was kind of grooming her to run for lieutenant governor, and because she was Secretary of State at the time. And then one day they had a falling out. They had a falling out, and he kind of like lost interest in taking her under his wing.
Yeah, I'm not privy to that, but I do remember her being touted as a potential lieutenant governor. She actually came to Oswego and spoke, I remember. I really liked Gail.
She was wonderful because, yeah, I remember years ago, like, if you would go to a dinner or some kind of an event, and the maybe there was like 100 and 200 people in a room, she would look at you and she would concentrate on you and she would focus like you were the only person in the room. I never forgot that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was a natural. Many political candidates today are challenged in those terms. They don't have that kind of Bill Clinton-ish ability to focus on people. And I have some stories about Bill Clinton, too, that are quite interesting, some of my interactions with him. But, yeah, that's a gift.
Wow.
She's a natural politician.
So, and, of course, I'm sure you've had conversations with Hillary Clinton also, right?
I have. I tell probably the most well-known anecdote about my interaction with Mrs. Clinton is when she was first considering running for the Senate. I had just stepped down as state chair because my wife had become ill and I wasn't really able to travel anymore. So she was thinking about running for the Senate. She asked me what I thought, and I said, to be honest with you, Mrs. Clinton, not much. I mean, what do you know about upstate New York? I mean, I have great respect for you and your husband and so forth, but you don't really know upstate New York. I said, let me put it to you this way. When you can tell me the difference between Oswego, Owego, Otsego, and Otego, I said, then maybe run. She kind of nodded and smiled and said, okay. 6 months later, I see her in Watertown. And in the meantime, she had been all over the state in this listening tour. So I saw her, and she motioned me to come over, and she said, John, Oswego's in Oswego County, Owego's in Tioga County, Otsego's in Otsego County, and Otego is in Otsego County. And I said, well, Mrs. Clinton, you go. She did. She won, and the rest is history. Unfortunately, she didn't do the same kind of thing when she was running for president this last time, and I think it showed.
Now, why do you think she was so good campaigning in 2000, but that did not carry over into 2008 and this past year?
Well, I think they made some strategic errors. The private email server choice was one. The way she handled that issue was another. She seemed to have more of a sense of, it's my turn, I'm entitled, than have a real reason to run, all of those things. And it just didn't, and of course, she's just been beaten up so badly over the years by the Republicans that it doesn't matter much what is true anymore. It's just, you know, middle-aged males, 50-plus, do not hold her in high regard. They don't hold Nancy Pelosi in high regard. And it's just, she, you know, the longer you're in politics, the more baggage you accumulate, the harder it is to overcome that. So it was a combination of things. And then this Russian thing, God knows, you know, that we all should be concerned about that. But, you know, we lost. The Democrats lost. The election is over. The question is, what did we win? We as a people win. And the person who is now in the office is, from my vantage point, not up to the challenge. And I think that was evident from the start, but you know, you try to give somebody a chance, it just doesn't seem to be happening, and who knows where they're going to go. I don't think this is going to end well.
So if somebody wants to get your book, how could they do so?
Oh, yeah. Thank you. There are several signed copies at the North Shore Bookstore here in Saratoga. You can go on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. There's a Kindle version as well. It's $7.99. You can get that on iTunes or on Amazon. And there are a couple of other sites I'm not familiar with, but they're selling the book as well. It's $19.95 on Amazon, and it's soft-covered. And it's got a picture of me on the front sitting on a pony. Anyone of my era would probably have a similar picture, because the photographer used to go through the neighborhoods with his pony, and all the little kids would come out, sit on the pony, and they'd take a picture. I don't know if you remember seeing any of those pictures, but you know, that's the picture we put on the front page. And I'm very proud of the cover design and also the back page, which is a silhouetted, you know, the story of the book, and then silhouetted in the background is a picture of me in kindergarten. So we thought,
wow,
first it was going to be set sail with Sullivan, but then I thought, no, that's too local, focusing on my years as mayor of Oswego. A lot of the book is about that, too. But and then we thought, well, how about what color is your table? We're going to put a table on the front page, a red table.
Oh,
and that's a good question. You know, it makes people think, what color is your table? And then finally, the Peanut Your Pants, I did a little sort of an informal focus group. That's the one that stuck. That's the one that seemed to appeal to people. And so I went back and I edited the book, and I took that theme of, you know, if you don't lose it when everyone else is, if you can keep it together, if you can be calm in the eye of the storm, eventually you're going to prevail or you're going to succeed. And so that's kind of the theme that runs throughout the book. Dry pants people rule the world. So it's available, at your local bookstore. You can order it if you don't, or you can order it, you know, easily online, get it in a day or two.
John, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure talking to you. You've been listening to John Sullivan, who is the former state Democratic chairman. And he's talking about his book, Peanut Your Pants. And if you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. If you have a comment about this show, hashtag Focus on Albany and share your thoughts. John, good luck with the book. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Cynthia. There's also a Facebook page, Peanut Your Pants. I should have mentioned that.
Oh, terrific. Okay. Okay, so maybe we'll talk soon. Have a great day, and have a good day, everybody.
Appreciate it, Cynthia. Thank you.